1 Peter chapter 5. Now, the Bible indicates there are two lines. It emphasizes two lines, like lines. In other words, symbolic language. There's a line that one of these days is going to return. Who's that? The Lord Jesus. And then second of all, the Bible indicates there's also a lion that roars. One of these days, the trumpet's going to sound. One of these days, the archangel's going to shout. And the Bible says dead in Christ are going to rise first. Those of us who are alive and remain, we're going to see the line of the tribe of Judah, aren't we, folks? But there's another line. Look with me now, if you will, in 1 Peter chapter 5, and look in verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary. Do you know you have an adversary? You know you got an enemy? Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. No wonder why the Lord used a roaring lion. Wonder why he didn't say something like a howling coyote. I'll tell you why. Because a lion is said to be the king of the jungle, isn't it? King of the beasts. I've been to Africa a couple of times, and every time I go, I try to hunt. One night, I was on a nighttime safari. It was not a hunting safari, but just really you took pictures and just enjoyed the outdoors. I was in Kruger National Park. My wife was with me, and we were going through there, and we were on the back of this big old real high truck. Had a shooter up on top of the cab in case some wild animal tried to get us. And we're going through there, and we're shining lights. And all of a sudden, I mean, there is dust. Just, I mean, unbelievable. Choking dust. Unbelievable. And, gazelle and zebra and wildebeest, they're just running like mad. Well, we drove on a little bit farther, and we saw the reason why. Because there were some lions, and one of those lions roared. And it was, I'll be honest, it was the most frightening sound I ever heard in my life. So, the Lord, when he's trying to give us a picture of what the devil is like, he says he's like a roaring lion. Now, what I want to do this morning, I want you to see some of the effects of the roaring lion. And so what I'm going to do, I'm going to camp tonight, or excuse me, this morning, in 1 John chapter 2. So take your Bible, just a couple of pages, right turn. Take your Bible and follow along with me, if you will, in 1 John chapter 2. And I want you to notice four things this morning that take place when the lion roars. First of all, there are those that will deny the Christ. That's the whole point of the lion roaring, to get people to deny Christ. Now, follow along with me in your Bible, if you will, please. 1 John chapter 2, and look with me, if you will, please, verse 21. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar? Now, who is the biggest liar? Well, the Bible tells us, he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. He is Antichrist. Now, that's a Antichrist. We know one of these days there's going to be the Antichrist. That denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. So first of all today, when that lion roars, first of all, there are those that will rise up and deny the Christ. Now, ladies and gentlemen, look right up here at me and listen very carefully to what I'm getting ready to tell you. It don't make any difference what you got right if you've got Jesus wrong. Did you hear me? Don't make a bit of difference. I mean, every once in a while this group will come along and, well, I'll just tell you who they are. The Mormons. Somebody will come along and say, oh, that wonderful emphasis they have on the family. Boy, it's great. It's great that they got a wonderful emphasis on the family, but isn't it a shame that they got Jesus wrong? And several years ago, I lived in a church-owned parsonage. I'm going to come down here and visit with you this morning. Hope that's all right. If it's not, that's okay. I'm just a fill-in for the fill-in. I'm kind of set at the end of the bench. And so you look down the whole bench, and the coach says, Anderson. Well, that's me. All right? So if it's not all right, that's all right, because I'll preach tonight, and we'll go from there. Now, several years ago, I was pastor at Dotson Memorial Baptist Church across town. And when I first went there, I lived in a church-owned parsonage. Thank the Lord he delivered me from that. But I lived in a church-owned parsonage. Now, one morning, I'm getting ready to go to the hospital, Blumenmore Hospital. Now, back then, whenever preachers went to the hospital, they always wore coat and ties. Back then, doctors wore coat and ties. And And so I was back in the back. Now, this has been several years ago. So I was back in the back bedroom, and I was getting dressed. And I was putting on my necktie. Well, I heard the front door. I heard somebody knock at the front door. Now, that parsonage was kind of L-shaped, and you had to walk down the hall, and you turn left, and then back, there's the front door. Mrs. Gann is very familiar with that parsonage. Her and Brother Gann lived in there for a number of years. So I'm walking down through there, and I heard the door, somebody knock at the door. And so I walked down this hall, walked there, and finished tying my necktie. And as I walked up there, now, it had one of those outside storm doors. Then it had one of those inside heavy wooden doors. So my wife had that wooden door open, but the storm door, she just had cracked. And she's talking to two ladies standing on the outside, which is unusual because my wife always, somebody comes to our house, she opens the door and invites them in. And she always does that. I mean, if it's mealtime, you come to our house, she'll invite you in, have a seat, sit down and eat with us. Now, don't show up at mealtime because I told you that, but that's the way she is. But no, she just got that storm door cracked. And so she's looking through that storm door. There's two ladies on the outside. So as I go walking up there, I could tell that something was being said. I didn't know exactly what was being said. So as I walked up there, I heard one of those ladies say this to my wife. Here's what she said. She said, "Now, ma'am, you got to understand. There's no such place as hell." And then she said, "And there's only 144,000 going to be in heaven." Well, that got my attention. No hell, 144,000 in heaven. And then she said, "And it's full." What a deal. I heard about this guy died. He was an atheist. And when they received friends tonight, they received friends. They had him in a casket. And he was all dressed up. He had a nice black suit on and a necktie and a soft pillow under his head as if that's important. And they got him stretched out. And two of his co-workers, now they weren't atheists. They just worked with the guy. And they were going to show their respects. And the two guys walked up there. And one of them looked at him and said, "You know, Joe was an atheist. He didn't believe in heaven." And the other guy said, "And he didn't believe in hell." That guy said, "It's a shame. He's all dressed up and no place to go." Well, I felt a little bit like that. No hell. Heaven, 144,000, and it's full. So here's what I did. I opened that door up, that storm door. And I said, "Now, ladies, why don't you come in, and why don't we have a little Bible study?" Oh, that's what they were there for. I mean, they come marching in there. They were tickled to death. When they did, I shut the storm door, and then I shut that inside wooden door, and then I did something I had never done before. I've not done it since. We had one of those chain locks. I locked the door. So they came in and said, "Now, ladies, before we have our Bible study, I'm going to pray." And so I bowed my head and said, "Dear Jesus." And one of them stopped and said, wait a minute. "We've already prayed this morning at the Kingdom Hall. Now you know who they are. Jehovah half witness. Just tell half the truth." I said, "Well, we're going to pray again right now." And I said, "Dear Jesus, thank you for sending these ladies here today. I'm going to tell them about you. I pray they're going to get born again. They're going to get saved." And about that time, I heard my door go, ching, 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 ching. Now, you know what the Bible says. The Bible says, watch and pray. Well, that's what I did. I watched and prayed. I had to cut my prayer short, unlock that door, let them out. Why? I'll tell you why. Because, listen, friend, there is power in the name of Jesus. Have you discovered that? I mean, when you sing in the name of Jesus, and you testify in the name of Jesus, and you preach in the name of Jesus, and you pray in the name of Jesus, there's power in that name. First of all, the old lion roars. First of all, he wants to cause people to deny the Christ. But second of all, he wants to discourage Christians. Look back in 1 John chapter 2 and follow along with me and follow along with my thought. 1 John chapter 2, look at verse 24. "Let that therefore abide in you which you've heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father." Now he's talking about that which abides in you. Who abides in the life of the believer? Holy Spirit does. Who else? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit abide in you. And, verse 25, "This is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life." Now, do you realize whenever you get born again, you are promised eternal life? Are you with me? Now, who should be the most encouraged people upon the face of this earth? Christians. Oftentimes, who are the most discouraged people on the face of this earth? Christians. Travel with me sometime. I've come to the place where I think that when I'm sad, I'm happier than most people are happy when they're happy. Does that make sense? I hope it does. Listen, folks, listen. There's a lot of stuff that can discourage us. Do you realize that? I mean, all of us have challenges in our families. All of us have challenges financially. All of us have challenges in our relationship, in our relationships. But now listen to me. God has promised us that He's with us at all times. At all times. Now, the one place we ought to be able to come to and be encouraged is where? House of God. That's exactly right. And do you know what that means? That means if a person comes to the house of God and they're going to be encouraged, that means all of us need to be what? Encouragers. Encouragers. Now let me tell you, there's some things I do. I didn't start out doing this, but there's some things I do in my ministry. I do some consultation. I consult with churches, especially it may be just as simple as a one event. And they'll ask me, well, how did you make this one event successful? And the gauge of success is people born into the kingdom of God. That's the gauge of success. Well, it has been as long as 9 months. I did one for 9 months. I went with a church, and they had some problems, a large church. They were in the midst of the problems. They asked me to come and help them, and I did. And one day, an event that I was involved in with the church, a number of people got saved. And a man and his wife got saved. Now, this young man was probably in his mid-20s. And his wife was probably about 20. They had a 5-year-old little boy. Now, you could tell by looking at them that they had lived a very rough life. Do you know what I'm saying? Just the demeanor. In fact, here's what they did. They lived in their car part of the time. When they could get a family member to take them in, they'd live with their family part of the time. If they lived once in a while, they'd find a room, or they had rented a place and they lived there as long as till they don't pay the rent and got kicked out. That's their lifestyle. That was their lifestyle. It was very obvious. He gave his testimony one time, talked about drugs and alcohol and a number of other things. Very obvious. All the clothes they had were seasonal kind of clothes. If it was winter, they had one coat, one set of winter clothes. If it was summer, they had shorts and t-shirts. Now, when you live in your car, you don't have a big wardrobe. One day, a man in the church said to this guy, he had shorts and t-shirts, said, if you can't dress any different than shorts and t-shirts, you need to find another church to go to. Won't that bless you? Folks, listen. Crazy things. I want to be an encourager. I want to be an encourager to you. I want to be an encourager to my Sunday school teacher. I love my Sunday school teacher. I've had two Sunday school teachers I had one Sunday school teacher for a long time. His name is David Sewell. A guy walked up to me last week that was here, and I think he's a member here, and said something about David Sewell. Who was that? Are you here today, sir? Raise your hand if you are. He was spiritual last week, backslidden this week. Since we don't know who he is, I can say that. But David Sewell. Now, David Sewell had a different kind of teaching style. Here was David Sewell's teaching style. David Sewell's teaching style was he lectured the whole time. I've got a new Sunday school teacher, and he has more of a discussion. Do you know, I love David, and I love Al Grubb, and their teaching styles are different. Now, which one was right and which one was wrong? Neither one of them. Because listen to me, different is not right or wrong. Do you hear me? Different is different. Now, I'm going to encourage my Sunday school teacher. Al, have I ever said anything or acted in any way to ever discourage you in any shape, form, or fashion? And nor will I ever. I had a pastor for about 10 years. He was the longest I had after my adult years. You've probably never heard of him. But my pastor I had for 10 years, his name was Mark Grubb. Have you ever heard of Mark Grubb? Yeah. Think so, yeah. Well, you know what? For 10 years, I'd call him and encourage him week by week by week. Listen, folks, let's be encouragers. Amen. To build the right kind of church and attract people, you have got to be a church of encouragers, full of encouragers. Put a smile on your face. Put a spring in your step. And say good morning and encourage people and find something good to say about them. Everybody can do that. Now, heard about this man. It was Sunday morning. His wife had gone for the third time and said, "You better get up now. You've done Miss Sunday school. You're going to be late for church." He said, "I ain't going." She said, "Why not?" He said, "Two reasons. Number one, ain't nobody down that church loves me. And their reason number two, I don't love anybody at the church." She said, "You got to go anyway." He said, "Why?" She said, "I'll give you two reasons. Number one, you're a grown man. Act like it. Number two, you're the pastor of the church." Whoever the pastor is, I'm sure his first name will be Glenn, but whoever the next pastor is, I'm going to be an encourager to him, aren't you? Now, third of all, when the old devil roars, here's what he wants to do. He wants to destroy children. Amen. Now, listen to me. Brother, I'm glad you're back saying that amen. You bless me when you say that. Would you keep it up? And when I travel, will you go with me? I'd love to have you with me. Now then, third of all, he will destroy children. Look with me, if you will, back in 1 John chapter 2. We're still there. 1 John chapter 2. And I want you to notice, look at verse 18. Notice those first two words, little children. Jesus loves the little children, doesn't he? Little children. Now, the devil wants to destroy children. Now, I admit, sometimes kids can be a pain. They really can. I was at Kroger over in Halls Road, been some time ago. I'm walking into the store. You know, I'm not a grocery shopper. I go occasionally with my wife. She knows where everything's at. I don't know where anything's at. When she sends me to get something, I look and look and look. And they got these signs up with stuff on those signs, but they never got the stuff I'm looking for on those signs. Never. And so I'm wandering around. I might be there for two or three items and I'll wander around forever. Well, I'm walking into Kroger. In walks this lady. Now listen, you talking about beautiful. This gal was some kind of beautiful lady. I mean, she is movie star beautiful. Her hair is perfect. Her makeup is perfect. She is dressed. I mean, she is dressed like she's getting ready to go to a glamour shot. I mean, this gal is beautiful. She got three little boys. Stair step. She puts the youngest one in the little seat of the buggy. She puts the middle one in the buggy where you put the groceries. The third one got on the front of the buggy and he rode backwards. So here she goes pushing those three little boys. Well, I'm looking. And so she's going through there, each aisle. And those kids were something else. I mean, they're grabbing everything off the shelf. They're asking for everything, whining and crying. Well, after I saw her down the first aisle, her hair was starting getting a little messed up. By the time I was at the third aisle, her makeup was all smudged. By the time I saw her at the last aisle, her clothes looked like she had slept in them. She was a wreck. Well, she goes in the checkout lane. I follow her. I'm right behind her. One of them little boys grabs a Milky Way candy bar. The other one grabs the National Enquirer. She's slapping her hands, and then she looks at me and kind of rolls her eyes. Well, to kind of just kind of break the tension, I looked at her and said, "Ma'am, if you had it to do all over again, would you have children?" She looked at me and said, "Yes, sir, but not the same ones." They can be a pain sometimes, can't they, folks? But now you listen to me. God loves little children, and we ought to too. Let me tell you how the devil's going to destroy children. First of all, by this terrible thing called abortion. Oh, isn't that horrible? I remember I was gone on a 2-week revival. I was in one location 1 week, and I was in another location the next week. I was in a I was in Alabama both weeks. Second week in Alabama, I had an outdoor crusade. It was an area-wide crusade. I was in a football field. Every day, it got to be over 100 degrees. Now, at night, it might cool down to 95. But imagine standing preaching, and I was facing the sun. I mean, I got through with that crusade, and it went all the way through Friday night. I mean, I got wore out. My youngest daughter, who has the oldest grandchild, she had been to the doctor, and they had taken an ultrasound, and they had put it on a little DVD. And so I got home, and from that revival, I mean, I'd been gone 2 weeks, preached every night, preached many of the daytime services. I mean, I am wore slap out. I go walking in, and she was there. She's got everything plugged into the player and everything. She says, "Daddy, come here. I want you to see your granddaughter. I want you to see your granddaughter. Our grandchild. I don't think at that time it was granddaughter. Grandchild. I want you to see your grandchild. Maybe we did. I don't know if we did or not. I'm preaching, not trying to figure out if we did or not. Anyway, come in here and sit down." So I went in there and sit down. She said, "Now watch, Daddy. Watch. She's already praising Jesus. Watch. So I watched, and sure enough, she raised her hand. But I think she was saying, "Hello, Grandpa." Now, wouldn't it be awful to end the life? "Hello, honey." Wouldn't it be awful to end the life of a precious unborn baby? And then the devil wants to destroy them after they're here, destroy their life. I was thinking this week about Moses leading the children of Israel out of Egypt. Egypt is a real place, you know that. Canaan is a real place, you know that. Pharaoh was a real person, you know that. But in Bible typology, Egypt represents the world. Canaan, even though, Sam, sometimes we sing about Canaan land and make it sound like Canaan is heaven, it's not. It's a spiritual life. It represents a spirit-filled life. Pharaoh represents the devil. Moses trying to bring all of the people out. And you know, Pharaoh kept offering compromises. Are you aware of that? Pharaoh would say, now Moses, you can take the people out. Just don't take them out very far. Moses says, "No, that's not going to work." Pharaoh said, "All right, Moses, you can take them out, but don't take the children. Leave the little ones here. There's danger out there. Leave the little children here." And you know that's what the devil wants you to do? He wants you to leave your kids in the world. Now, folks, listen to me. We are such a sports-craved society. We're so in love with our careers, with finances, with popularity. We'll do anything on the face of the earth, including leaving our children in the world. Moses said, "We're going out. We're taking everybody with us. We're taking all the possessions. And we're going to go all the way out." Why don't you today make up your mind? "Man, I'm going to train my children." Are you training your children? Little boys at school was on the playground. He fell down and he skinned his knee. Teacher runs over there to him, kind of brushes it off. And the little boy's starting to tune up like he's going to cry. And the teacher said, oh, be a man, don't cry. He said, "I'm not going to cry, I'm going to sue." Train your children up in the way the Lord have them to go. Now listen to me. First of all today, the devil wants us to just deny the Christ. The devil wants to discourage Christians. The devil wants to destroy our children. But most importantly, the devil wants to deceive church members. Look with me again, 1 John chapter 2. Look in verse 21. Excuse me, not verse 21, verse 19. "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. But they went out that it might be made manifest that they were not all of us." They went out that it might be manifest they were not all of us. The Bible gives a proverb. Here's that proverb. Here's what it says. It talks about, I call it the sick dog and the dirty hog. Here's what the proverb says. The proverb says the dog returns to his own vomit. And literally that means the dog returns to eating his own vomit. And the sow, for some of you city folks that live in Maryville, sow's a mama hog, and the sow returns to wallowing in the mire. Now I want you to think about that with me. Think about that dog. Now, I raised and trained border collies. I've got a border collie I've been training. Her name is Molly. Molly's an unusual dog. I can say, she can be running. I say, stand. And she'll stand. I can say, walk up. She'll walk up. I can say, down. She'll lay down. I'll say, come to me. She'll come right to me. She'll herd the sheep. Bring them in. I've not got her to the point where I can say, look back. But I have trained some where I can say, look back. And they'll turn around and look back to see if they've left the sheep behind. Now, sometimes Molly will do unusual things. Sometimes Molly will eat grass. Now, a dog's not supposed to eat grass. A dog's supposed to eat dog food and leftover biscuits. That's what a dog's supposed to eat, but she'll eat grass. Yeah. You know why? You know why dogs eat grass? Because they're a dog. It's what dogs do. They eat grass. Now, the Bible says the sow. Now, you can bring a sow into your house. Put her in the shower. Scrub her down real, real good with that 99.9% pure Ivory soap. Bring her out of the shower, put her on her big mat, take a big soft towel and pat her dry, softly pat her dry. Reason why I say softly pat her dry, used to, from the very first time until this morning, getting ready to come, every time I ever take a shower, I always wash my hair. Used to, I'd get out and grab that towel and scrub it dry. Not anymore. So you softly pat her dry. Take some right guard, spray under her left leg. Take some white diamonds, that's perfume in, dribble it down her back. Take some of that ruby red lipstick and put it on her snout. Take a pink ribbon, make a real pretty bow on top of her head. Now, you have got one more classy mama hog. Open the door and let her go outside. Where does she go? Huh? Mud hole. Why? She's what? She's a pig. Learned something on the dog, didn't you? Yeah, she's a pig. That's what pigs do. Now, where's the Bible going with that? Let me tell you where the Bible's going with that. That's the same way people are. You see, folks, listen. When Jesus Christ comes into your life, whenever the Spirit of God convicts you of your sin and convinces you that Jesus Christ is the answer for your sin, and you invite Jesus Christ into your life, God the Father and God the Son, God the Holy Spirit come into your life. Now listen, whenever the Godhead come into your life is changed. Here's an old boy. He drinks Budweiser every night till he gets drunk out of his mind. Slaps his wife around, hollers and screams at the kids, kicks the dog. Finally, that little gal has enough. And she looks at him and says, big boy, I'm going to mama's house. I'm leaving you. She moves out. Well, the next Sunday, here the pastor had been encouraging, trying to get him to come to church. Some of the men that are concerned been trying to get him to come to church, been talking to him about giving his life to Christ. And then all of a sudden that his wife's gone the very next Sunday, guess what he does? He comes running down that aisle. And he gets religion. Now listen to what I told you. He gets religion. And he's all right for about 6 months. He's all right for about a year maybe. And that wife and those kids come back home. And the first thing you know, guess what? He's right back out there, belling up to the bar, drinking Budweiser until he gets drunk every single night. Well, he's quit church, of course. Somebody goes by to see him and said, hey, buddy, we've been missing you down at church. Are you really a Christian? And you know what he says? Oh, yes. Don't you remember that Sunday? I walked down that aisle. I shook the pastor's hand. Prayed some little old prayer. Don't you remember that? They went out from us. but they were not part of us. If they had been part of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. But they went out from us so that it might be made manifest that they were never part of us. John Henry is one of the finest people you ever meet. He's a fine man. Married to a wonderful lady. John Henry has taught Sunday school and gone to Brazil on mission trips. Just been in Sunday school faithfully. Tithes his income. You look at John Henry and there's nothing about his life that ever caused me for one second to doubt if he'd ever really been born again or not. Not one thing. About a month ago, I guess, John Henry comes walking down there. I was preaching, walked all the way up here, and says to me, I need to be saved. Well, I gave him the short version. He prayed right there. Gave his life to Christ. Up there in that baptistry. Folks, it was all I do to keep him shouting. This is a dignified church. Now, if it was just one of them loose churches, I'd said, go ahead. But this is more dignified. Listen. Do you know today that if you died, heaven be your home? Now, don't just give that up. Oh, yes. Think about it. Think about it. Today could be the first day for the rest of your life. Today could be the day. Today could be the day that your life could be transformed. Today could be the day that you're made new. Today could be the day that you just walk in the Spirit of God. I wish you could travel with me. I was over in Oak Ridge, Calvary Baptist Church, Dr. Stephen McDonald's pastor there. I was there on the Sunday morning, first Sunday morning that I started revival. I've been there three or four times. That Sunday morning, I started a revival with him, and that I gave the invitation, and there was a whole number of people that came forward to get saved. Now, he did an unusual thing. He had a cordless mic, and here's what he did. He started down there, and he would interview each person, say, now, tell me your name. Did you get saved? You gonna get baptized? He went all the way down through there. He comes this man. The man's first name was Lloyd. Can't remember his last name. Been several years ago. Came this man and said, sir, tell me your name. Lloyd. And then he said his name. He said, did you get saved today? He said, yes, sir, I did. And he said, my wife also got saved today. He said, is that right? She said, yes, it is. He said, are you going to get baptized? He said, yes, I am. He said, pastor, may I say something? Well, Dr. McDonald did something that is a dangerous thing to do. He gives him the microphone. You don't know what somebody's going to say. I was in Third Baptist Church, Marion, Illinois, in revival, and this lady comes walking down through the down the aisle, and she says, the guy's name was Frank Trotter, the pastor's name was Frank Trotter. She says, oh, Dr. Trotter, I got something I want to say. Well, I could tell by looking at her that she was a few bricks short of a load. You know what I'm saying? Her elevator didn't go all the way up to the top. He gives her the microphone. Here's what she says. She says, I am announcing today that I am a candidate for the governor of the state of Illinois. Everybody goes, I looked over at Frank Trotter. He goes, I thought, what are we going to do? Everybody just with their mouth open looking at this lady. I said, ma'am, give me that microphone. She handed me the microphone. I said, can I be the lieutenant governor? Everybody laughed. It was all over. But it was a good thing. He gave him the microphone. Now, this is Oak Ridge. Here's what he said. He said, folks, you don't know me. He said, I have retired as a missionary. When I was a boy, I went forward. Nobody counseled with me. First thing I do when I become a pastor of a church, I train invitation counselors. First thing I do. If a church says, come and help us, the first thing I do is train invitation counselor, where people will sit down who've been trained, open up the Word of God, show them how to get saved. He said, I was a little boy, came forward. People just kind of gathered around me and prayed. He said, I was a good kid. Everybody said, "Lord, I believe God's calling you to be. I believe God's calling you to be a preacher." So I was convinced by what everybody else said that God was calling me to be a preacher. I went away to Bible college, and at Bible college, they had a missionary come, and I heard that missionary speak. And I thought to myself, that's what I want to do. I want to be a missionary. He said, I went to the mission field. He said, the mission field, I realized I'd never ever really been saved. He said, but I was so embarrassed to tell anybody. I thought I would just die and go to hell. But today, I came forward. His wife had almost the same exact testimony. I was preaching a revival at Everett Hills Baptist Church here in town. Several years ago, Mark, a pastor at that time was named Mark Drake. He was the pastor. I preached that week. 69-year-old WMU director got saved. And she said, I knew when I was 16 years old, when I came forward, I wasn't saved. She said, I stood there when they were shaking hands with me and congratulating me on being saved. And I knew I wasn't saved. And she said, I just figured I'd die and go to hell. Oh, dear friend, today, don't let that happen to you. Don't let that happen to you. I have noticed that the interim pastor has been saying something about that in every single service, about those who are a member of the church but never given their life to Christ. Every Sunday I go out and try to say a word of encouragement to him. He don't need my words of encouragement, but I try to give them to him anyway. He's old enough to be encouraged, isn't he? But I mentioned that to him. And he said it changed the whole church at Grace. One revival and over 100 people got saved. Most of them were church members. Listen, friend, today, don't let your pride or concern stand in the way of giving your life to Jesus. Let's bow our heads together for prayer, can we? Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. In just a few moments, we'll stand and I'll extend a formal open invitation. But here's what I want to do. I want you to look at your own life right now, examine your own heart. And can you say honestly before God this morning, just between you and the Lord, can you honestly say today, I know that my life's been changed, that Jesus is in my life. Do you know that? If you don't know that, Lord, got some good news for you. Today you can know that. Here's how you know that. It starts with step one, realizing you're a sinner. That's all of us. That's everybody in this building. Each and every one of us. One of my dearest friends are here this morning, Gary Ridener and his wife, Valerie. And Gary, just like me, is a sinner, and just like you. And second of all, you've got to believe in your heart that Jesus lived, died, buried, and rose from the dead. I mean, believe that. I suspect you do, you wouldn't be here this morning. And third of all today, if you'd be willing to turn from your sins, the Bible calls that repentance. If you'd be willing to turn from your sins, and today you'd be willing to pray and invite Christ to come into your life. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's pray. Just pray and mean it. And ask Him to come in your life. A prayer like this, "Dear Jesus, I am a sinner. Forgive me my sins. Come into my life and save me. And I'm going to promise you today on the authority of the Word of God, and there's no higher authority, that Christ will come in your life and save you today." Our heads are bowed right now. I'm going to invite you to pray right now and give your life to Christ. Now, this prayer is not a prayer of rededication. This is not a prayer of recommitment. I want to be crystal clear with the invitation. This is not a prayer to join the church or even to get baptized. This is a prayer to be born again. If you'd like to pray that prayer, if you're 9 or 90 or anywhere in between or younger or older, and understand that you're sinned against God, pray that prayer after me right now to be saved. Pray, "Dear Jesus." That's right, pray, "Dear Jesus." You pray silently, God will hear your prayer. Pray, "Dear Jesus, I am a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. come into my life and save me. Thank you for dying for me. Help me to live for you. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. If you prayed that prayer just then, you prayed that prayer to be saved, to be born again, and you meant it, not ashamed of it, just then, just between you and I and the Lord, would you just raise your hand? Just raise it up, hold it for a second. Yes, sir, thank you. Thank you. Someone else. Yes, I prayed that prayer. Yes, thank you. Someone else. Someone else. Yes, I. Yes, thank you. God bless you. Somebody else? Yes, ma'am, thank you. Way in the back, God bless you. Somebody else. Now listen, this is so very, very important. Oftentimes, in fact, in almost every service I preach, this happens. There are those who will pray and they'll invite Christ in their life, but for whatever reason, they choose not to raise their hand. Well, that's okay. That's okay. God's not mad at you. Certainly, I'm not. But here's what I'm going to ask you to do today. I'm going to ask everybody all over the building that prayed that prayer today to receive Christ into your life. And I suspect it's more than three or four. But every person all over the building today that prayed that prayer to receive Christ, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you in just a moment to raise your head and look at me. I'm going to ask everybody else who did not pray that prayer just to keep your head bowed. But if you prayed that prayer and meant it, right this very moment, just look up here at me and keep looking at me until we make eye contact. Just look up here at me right now. Did you pray that prayer in the back? Did you pray that prayer? Wonderful. And did you, sir? Did you pray that prayer as well? Nod your head if you did. Yes, sir. Did you pray that prayer, ma'am? Wonderful. Both of you. Two, one, two, three, right there together. Did you pray that prayer, young man? Did you? Did you pray that prayer, sir? Yours the first hand that went up. God bless you. Just keep looking at me. Back in the back, just keep looking at me. I'm going to say something else to you in a moment. Don't want to leave anybody out. I'm looking in the middle section on my right, your left. Anybody in that section, you prayed that prayer, just look right up here at me until our eyes meet. Over on the right, did you pray that prayer, huh? Did you mean it? God bless you. Sir, did you pray that prayer to be saved? Wonderful. Is that your daughter on the other end? Wonderful. Dad, daughter, God's sake. Wonderful. Just keep looking up here at me. Just keep looking up here at me. Did you pray that prayer, sir, to be saved? Wonderful. God bless you. Now, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Sir, I'm going to ask you, and sir, I'm going to ask you, and sir, I'm going to ask you, sir, I'm going to ask you, four men, ma'am, I'm going to ask you, and you, young man, sorry, I missed you, and you, young man, and you, young lady, here's what I'm going to ask all of you to do in just a moment. Mike, our chairman of the deacons, a good, sweet, spirited man, is going to come and stand right here. Come on right now, Mike. And he's going to stand facing me. Now, here's the reason why he's going to stand facing me. Because in just a moment, we're going to stand and sing Just As I Am. When we do, sir, I'm going to ask you to be the very first one to step out and come and stand. Oh, he's coming right now. Wonderful. And sir, I'm going to ask you, sir, I'm going to ask you, young lady, I'm going to ask you just to come and stand right here beside him, facing me. Facing me. That's all you have to do. Back over here in the back. I'm going to ask you all to do the same thing. Over here, young lady. Sir, oh, come on right now. We've got people already coming. Got more already coming. Yes, that's right. Just keep on coming. Just keep on. Yes. Let's just sing. Let's just start singing. Just come right on. Yes, ma'am. God bless you. God bless you. And God bless you. And God bless you. Let's stand to our feet, folks. God spoke to your heart. You step out right now. Come on. Yes, God bless you, ma'am. God bless you.